Who are these masked people? They represent just a portion of the trustees, custodians, and other volunteers who have been very busy while we've been away from the Hope United Methodist Church building. Here's a sampling of some of the many facilities-related projects that bring us hope. On the outside, landscaping is helping to bring additional beauty to the neighborhood. And on the practical end of things, our parking lots have been improved by fixing broken and uneven areas around drains, replacing them with smooth and even surfaces. Parking lot lines have also been refreshed and updated. At our rental properties, we've made improvements from front stoops to air conditioner pads. At our Hathaway campus, our picnic tables were repaired and repainted. And as we enter our main Hope building, you'll see a new doorbell and bright and shiny floors in both Fellowship Hall and in the choir room. One of our most ambitious projects while you've been away has been the complete refurbishing of our pipe organ. The crumbling walls in the organ lofts have been completely repaired and resurfaced. Pipes from the very small to the very large have been removed, cleaned from decades of dust buildup, retuned, and repaired. We know that these times when we're apart can be difficult, but we'll be together again. We will. Until then, know that wherever we serve, in our community, in our home, or in the building at the corner of Center and Grace, that God loves us and nothing can change that.
Good morning and welcome to Hope United Methodist Church from wherever you are joining us at. A few announcements before we begin our time of worship today. First, beginning this week, I'm going to be holding outdoor open office hours on Wednesdays from 9 until noon. What that means is that you are welcome to stop by and visit with me, ask me questions, just kind of, if you need to catch up, talk about something, come and find me. This week, this Wednesday from 9 to noon, I will be at the Mission Center, which is on Turney Road. It's the Hathaway facility, and I will be at the pavilion outside between 9 and noon. So if you got something you want to talk about, please come to Hathaway between 9 and noon and find me there. The following week, I will be here at the main campus from 9 until noon under the pop-up tent outside in our parking lot. So I'm going to try and bounce back and forth between the two locations each week to try and be as available and accessible as possible to all of us. So if you've got something, you want to stop by and talk about, please feel free to do so. Also, please know that if you want to schedule a visit with me, I'm happy to come over to your house and meet with you outside, socially distanced. Just call me and let me know, and we can find a time. You can text me, you can email me. I'm also happy to just give you a phone call if you want a phone call. So let me know that as well. So if you need a call, a visit, or you want to just stop by and see me, we have ways for that to happen. Just let me know or stop it. Also, our Bible study continues on Tuesday nights via Zoom. Our Wednesday night meal distribution continues. Again, I ask that if you come early, you not block the driveway and the parking lot. We don't want to cause a traffic jam. We don't want to cause any accidents. I know some weeks I start serving early, but we've had plenty every week for everyone. You don't have to get here at 5 o'clock and sit right outside the door. So we ask that you do not do that. If we can't stop having people back up in the driveway and potentially start clogging Center Road, we may have to start putting traffic cones out and blocking the driveway completely until it's time to begin service. So please, please do not block up our driveway. Now, let us take a moment to take a deep breath, center ourselves, and prepare for worship as we listen to our prelude.
Please join me in this morning's call to worship. The Lord is King. He is robed in majesty.
Indeed, the Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength.
The world is firmly established. It cannot be shaken.
Your throne, O Lord, has been established from time immemorial.
You yourself are from the everlasting past.
The mighty oceans have roared, O Lord. The mighty oceans roar like thunder. The mighty oceans roar as they pound the shore.
But mightier than the violent raging of the seas, mightier than the breakers on the shore, the Lord above is mightier than these.
Your royal decrees cannot be changed. The nature of your reign, O Lord, is holiness forever.
We cry from the fright of our day.
Now, as we come to a time of prayer, let us begin with our unison opening prayer. God, you reign. Robed in majesty and armed with strength, you hold our world and our lives securely. Your throne has stood for all eternity. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Even when the waters rise up, when surging seas threaten to overwhelm us and pounding waves crash around us, we know that you are mightier. You are more powerful than the threats we face. Holy God, your decrees are firm and unshakable and will last forevermore. Now let us continue our time of prayer with our silent prayers as we listen and reflect musically and in silence. Lord, we gather this week and we bring much before you. We ask for prayers for the great grandson of Sybil Plummer, who has been diagnosed with COVID. We ask for prayers for the family and friends of Judy Treacy, who passed away. Prayers for Rocky. Prayers for the recovery of Barb Becerra. We ask for peace and love and wisdom. We ask that in this time of surging waters, of threats of being overwhelmed, of every day feeling like it's just too much, that you would be with us and that we would recognize where you are in our midst. Be with us, O God. Lift us up to be more than we can be. Strengthen us in spite of our iniquities, O Lord. Be with those whom are struggling, with those who are celebrating, and with those of us who are just trying to make it day to day. God, things are not as they once were, and we know that. We know that we cannot go back to the way it was, and we ask that you give us the courage to see how it might be. Lord, help us to have a vision for your kingdom that you are building even now, and that you ask that we join in with you, and that we could walk and follow your example, and that we could follow the footsteps of Christ to live more fully as he would have us live. And today we take another step on that journey through something as simple as prayer. And so we say the prayer that he taught, knowing it brings us closer to him, to you, to the Holy Spirit in our lives, to one another, and to another step on the journey of discipleship. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory forever. Amen. Hey kids, good morning. Hope you're doing well this week and that you're staying, you know, staying cool especially. I know it's been hot the past few days and that you're staying safe out there and following all the rules and stuff. Today we're finishing up Esther for a church and then we'll be starting something new next week. And as part of that, we're talking about faithfulness. We're going to be talking about faithfulness today and what that means. And part of that is about how and what kind of a foundation we have and the fact that we need to be able to trace, so to speak, the nature of our faith back all the way to Abraham and before that, and to be able to be a people who can look at those who came before us and see how they were faithful and use that to inform our own faith. We can learn from those who came before us. So, you know, we learn a lot from those who came before us. We learn sometimes how not to do things. We learn how they mess something up and how we need to learn and fix that. And then sometimes we learn instead how to do something right, you know. And so often, like, I find myself on the phone with my father working on electrical stuff, you know, like an outlet or something. And I'll call and say, hey, trying to fix this outlet. Any advice you would have on how to do it so that I don't shock myself would be helpful. One of the things that's really cool, it hangs in my office that I thought you'd like to know about. Up here are my ordination and my commissioning certificates. And it's all part of the process for becoming a full pastor in the Methodist Church. And one of the things about it that's really cool in our conference is that when you get ordained, you get one of these. And it traces your elder's orders, your ordination, all the way back to John Wesley. And so I can see, you know, John Wesley ordained Thomas Coke, who ordained Francis Asbury, who ordained William McKendry, who ordained Edmund James, who ordained Willard Malalieu, who ordained William Anderson, who ordained Richard Raines, who ordained Sheldon Duker, who ordained Bishop Tracy Smith Malone, who ordained me. And so I can trace my ordination all the way back to John Wesley. But what that also allows me to do is see how those who came before me are connected to something far bigger than myself. You see, we're not in this journey of faith alone. We're not, you know, simply out here trying to figure it all out day to day by ourselves. We have a wealth of knowledge to draw upon to help us grow. And so my challenge to you is to maybe this week seek out someone who helps grow and educate you in your own life. So maybe if you haven't called your grandparents recently, call your grandparents and say, hey, how are things going? And just check in with them. If you're older like me and you haven't called your parents in a while, then call your parents. You know, but find that person that has been influential in your life and reach out to them and just let them know that you appreciate everything they've done and how they have impacted your life so far this week. So that's my challenge to you, is to remember who helped you grow in your faith and who's helped you grow in your life. And then ask yourself, how might you become a person who would help somebody the way someone helped you? How can you then pass on and carry on the legacy? Now, let's get back to worship as we continue learning more about Esther.
Today's first lesson is from Esther, chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. That same night, the king simply couldn't sleep. He had the official royal records brought in, and his young male servants began reading them to the king. They came to the report about Mordecai informing on Bigtan and Teresh. They were the two royal eunuchs among the guards protecting the king's doorway, who secretly planned to kill King Ahasuerus. What was done to honor and reward Mordecai for this? The king asked. His young male servants replied, "Nothing was done for him, sir." "Who is that out in the courtyard?" the king asked. Haman had just entered the outer courtyard of the palace. He had come to tell the king to impale Mordecai on the pole that he had set up for him. The king's servants answered, "That's Haman standing out in the courtyard, sir." So the king said, "Have him come in." When Haman entered, the king asked him, "What should be done for the man whom the king really wants to honor?" Haman thought to himself, "Whom would the king really want to honor more than me?" So Haman said to the king, "Here's what should be done for the man the king really wants to honor. Have servants bring out a royal robe that the king himself has worn, and a horse on which the king himself has ridden. It should have a royal crest on its head. Then hand over the robe and the horse to another man, one of the king's officials. Have him personally robe the man whom the king really wants to honor, and lead him on the horse through the city square. As he goes, have him shout, 'This is what the king does for the man he really wants to honor.'" Then the king said to Haman, "Hurry, take the robe and the horse just as you've said, and do exactly that for Mordecai the Jew, who works at the king's gate. Don't leave out a single thing you've said." So Haman took the robe and the horse and put the robe on Mordecai. He led him on horseback through the city square, shouting as he went, "This is what the king does for the man he really wants to honor." Afterward, Mordecai returned to the king's gate, while Haman hurried home, feeling great shame, his head covered. Haman told his wife Zeresh and all his friends everything that had happened to him. Both his friends and his wife said to him, "You've already begun to lose out to Mordecai. If he is of Jewish birth, you'll not be able to win against him. You are surely going to lose out to him."
Our second lesson for today comes from the book of Esther, the 6th chapter, verse 14, through the 7th chapter, verse 10. They were still discussing this with him when several royal eunuchs arrived. They quickly hurried Haman off to the feast that Esther had prepared. When the king and Haman came in for the banquet with Queen Esther, the king said to her, "This is the second day we've met for wine. What is your wish, Queen Esther? I'll give it to you, and what do you want? I'll do anything, even give you half the kingdom." Queen Esther answered, "If it please the king, if I please the king, and if the king wishes, give me my life. That's my wish. And the lives of my people, too, that's my desire. We have been sold, I and my people, to be wiped out, killed, and destroyed. If we simply had been sold as male and female slaves, I would have said nothing. But no enemy can compensate the king for this kind of damage." King Assyrius said to Queen Esther, "Who is this person, and where is he who would dare do such a thing?" Esther replied, "A man who hates, an enemy, this wicked Haman." Haman was overcome with terror in the presence of the king and queen. Furious, the king got up and left the banquet for the palace garden. But Haman stood up and to beg Queen Esther for his life. He saw clearly that the king's mood meant a bad end for him. The king returned from the palace garden to the banquet room just as Haman was kneeling on the couch where Esther was reclining. "Will you even molest the queen while I am in the house?" the king said. The words had barely left the king's mouth before covering Haman's face with dread. Harbona, one of the eunuchs serving the king, said, "Sir, look, there's the stake that Haman made for Mordecai, the man who spoke up and did something good for the king. It's standing at Haman's house, 75 feet high. Impale him on it," the king ordered. So they impaled Haman on the very pole that he had set up for Mordecai, and the king's anger went away. This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. Difficult decisions are often made every day. Some people have to make many, some people have to make only one. Some of us don't have to make a difficult decision every day, but we do have to make one every once in a while. But the reality is that difficult decisions are often made, and especially difficult decisions are made when something must be decided that has crucial influence on our lives. So I can only imagine the trepidation of having to make a decision that impacts the lives of others. How difficult that must be. We are presented with two contrasting people, Esther and Haman. In Esther and Haman, we have something similar, both of them raised up and put in a position of power and authority. And both of them have used their power and authority in different ways. Esther has used her power to simply stand up for her people and to save them from injustice and oppression and destruction. Haman has used his power to enrich himself and his family and to try and eliminate all those who he sees as his opposition. And both of them have been raised up by the king. And so we now find ourselves in a situation where the king is going to have to make a difficult decision based on the information that he learns, which comes out in our scripture for today. Now, we have been building toward this for some weeks, learning the scripture of Esther, and yet now it all comes to a head. The reality is that Haman has set things up to get rid of an entire group of people because he does not like Mordecai, because Mordecai does not bow to him and his apparent authority. But Haman has rushed and schemed to his own downfall. Haman chose power as his mode of operation, and he was faithful to himself above all others and acted recklessly to grow his own earthly power. Esther, however, is seen as a character of faithfulness. She has put herself in harm's way by going to the king, revealing who she is, because there is no guarantee that once she tells the king, "Save me, save my people," they have been put on the stone and are prepared to be cut down. There's no guarantee that the king won't say what has been done has been done. And as we know, Esther has not told anybody about her heritage, so she could have very well thought to herself, "I'll ride this one out." But she is faithful in that she says, for such a time as this, her uncle says to her, "You're in a position to do mercy, to enact change, to stand up for what is right." And Esther listens, and she does, but she also is not as hasty as Haman. She doesn't go running into the throne room saying, "Something terrible has happened. The sky is falling. The sky is falling." She carefully makes her plans. She holds a meal or two with the king and makes sure that Haman is present, as to not awake his suspicions. But she makes sure, before she asks the king, that she has made sure the king knows she's not doing this against him. but she is merely looking out for her people. She chooses faithfulness as her mode of operating, and we also see the importance of Mordecai's earlier actions of faithfulness over a chance for power, of faithfulness as now playing out. Because the king can't sleep and he says, I don't know, read me the old history of stuff that I've done recently because I can't sleep and maybe this boring stuff will help me go to bed. And as they're reading, they say, oh yeah, this guy helped something not happen to you. You would have been murdered were it not for Mordecai. And the king says, oh yes, what did I do for him? And they say, nothing. He didn't ask for anything and you didn't give him anything. And the king's like, man, I should probably make it up to him. The timing could not be worse for Haman, because now he is nervous. And as we see, he starts to realize how this plot is unraveling against him. And his best laid plans, though they were laid in haste, are now falling to the wayside. He chose power over faithfulness. And it is now coming back to get him. For us in our day-to-day lives, we may not think we have opportunities to choose power or faithfulness. We may not think we have opportunities to make a difference. And yet, I say to you, every day we have an opportunity to make a difference in someone's life. We may not all find ourselves in the same predicament or position as the queen and her uncle, but we do have opportunities that present themselves and say, what and who will you be in this situation? Power is tempting and alluring, and once we get some, we often want more because the fantasy of control is deceptive and sneaky. But faithfulness will hold us far better. Because when we have faith and when we are faithful, we are strengthened in a way that earthly power cannot strengthen us. If we build our faith on things of this world, we build on shifting sand. But if we build our faith on God, and if in God we trust, with Christ our rock we stand, and with the power of the Holy Spirit within our souls, we are on a firm foundation. Faithfulness is an attribute that will never steer us wrong because, like Abraham, it will stay with us. And when challenges arise, we will find ourselves, like Abraham, above all else, staying faithful to God and knowing that God is with us. Earthly power does not do this because when we build on earthly power and then all falls away, we realize we have nothing. Haman has nothing once his earthly power, all of which is only at the behest of the king, is stripped from him, and he finds himself now the victim of the very plot that he set up. Faithfulness is better than power because faithfulness is a true foundation. If we live as a people who seek only power, then we may repeat the mistakes of Haman and find ourselves in his shoes. If we live as a people who have faithfulness, that God will be with us no matter what we do, we are more strengthened, encouraged, and inspired to stand up for what is right each and every day. A faithful people have four attributes. They are prayerful. If we are engaged in a deep life of prayer, it will help to encourage us to be a faithful person. Second, they are discerning. We must be a person of great discernment about our actions. And this helps us understand Haman and Esther so differently. Haman does not approach his plans with great discernment, while Esther carefully looks at what she needs to do and how to best accomplish it. We must, third, be a person of witness. We must be one who lives out our faith in our everyday lives and witness through our actions and our examples, not only our words, to the nature of our faith, so that others would see us and say, there's something about that person that makes them faithful, and I can't quite put my finger on it, but just looking at them, I can tell. And finally, we must be studious. And what I mean by that is not anything, you know, lofty or grand, but what I mean by that is that we should be engaged in study of the scriptures, that we would be able to read the Bible and ask ourselves, how does this apply to my daily life? Because it will help us be faithful. If we do not know the Bible, how can we be faithful disciples? Because we will then not have the knowledge base to draw upon when we are presented with a situation in which we are challenged and we need to know how to live. And so by delving and diving and studying scripture, no, we may not be a person who can chapter and verse every situation. I am not that person. If you come to me and say, Pastor, chapter and verse me is, you know, this parable of Jesus, I don't know that I could do it. But if you came to me and said, what would Jesus do in this situation? I am able to draw on my depth of knowledge to give you, at least in that moment, this is what I think Jesus would do based off my cumulative reading of Scripture and of the work of God in the world that I see through Scripture. Then I would be able to go back later and say, okay, here is the chapter and verse. I knew it was in there somewhere, but when we study the scriptures, it helps us to build a framework in our mind of what does it mean to be a faithful person. We learn the stories of Abraham and Esther and Isaiah, Jeremiah, people who face great hardship. And we also learn the stories of Jesus and the stories of Peter and of Paul and of James. And we learn from their example to help us realize that God is still at work in the world. And like them, we are called to be faithful and studious. And so we are deep in prayer. We are deep in discernment. We are studious of Scripture, and we cannot help but witness our faith as we walk here in the world. And all of these would help and do help make and mark us as a person who has faithfulness as their foundation. The world is fraught with many perils and dangers, and the quest of power versus faithfulness has ever held sway in the perils and dangers of our world, but we, through the power of Christ, have been redeemed and made new through him, that we would be more than we ever thought we could be, so that we, like those who came before us in the faith, would be a faithful people who have a firm foundation and know that God is with us. No matter what the world or someone else throws our way, let us be a faithful people. Amen. Now let us join in our next hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Amen.
Let us place our hearts, our souls, our minds, our gifts, our witness, our service, ourselves before God, knowing that God receives us and our offerings. Let us have a moment of silence. Now let us join in our doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, He and below. Praise for the Son and Holy Ghost.
Join in our unison prayer. O God, we recognize that we have been blessed with great abundance. In offering these gifts, may we be strengthened to proclaim your faithfulness and your salvation this day and always. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. As you go back out into the world, may you be encouraged to know that God loves you and nothing can change that. And remember that God has redeemed you because God loves you. May you know the power of the Holy Spirit, and may you know that God will be with you, challenging you above all else to be a faithful disciple, that you may bear the light of hope to everyone that you meet. May God be with you till we meet again.